Blog Talk Radio.
Paul says, this is the third time
I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. You see, Paul is telling here the third time he says he's coming to them. And on the third visit, we find that Paul is telling them that there'll be witnesses and all there to this effect. And this in the mouth he's talking about here in verse 2 means by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, Paige, here in verse 2, he says, I told you before and foretell you as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. You ain't going to know it. He's not going to spare them. Now, 3. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self? Tell that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Now, as we look at verse 5, we see here, where he's talking about the reprobates, he says, except you be reprobates, which really means unless you are counterfeit. The challenge is to ascertain whether they are genuine believers or fakes. This is what Paul is after and what he's talking about here. Verse 6. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And he's letting them know, since they know that you're not reprobates, regardless of how the Corinthians comes out in the test, they are assured that Paul was genuine. And there is a play on words between them looking for evidence and those that are counterfeit. Now, 7. Now as I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Now, 8. for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. We can't do anything against it, but we can do for it. 9. For we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Paul's even wishing and praying for their perfection. 10. Therefore I write these things being absent, least being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification and not to destruction. Paul's got a lot of words for him. And here in verse 11, he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And, you know, there in that sentence where he starts out, finally, brethren, in the first 9 chapters, Paul addresses the majority of the faithful brethren in the Corinthian assembly. And his words have been directed primarily to those who questioned his integrity. And we know there was quite a few of them. Paul is not even certain of these, if these are true believers. But in his farewell address, the apostle turns his attention once again to those who really love and appreciate him. Thus, he calls them brother. Now, once again, we see this same phrase in Paul's writing. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Try that in the churches today, and you're going to be called everything. Because if you was to kiss one of the ladies, you know what's going to happen then and how you'll be talked about. That you're trying to put the make on one. You got the eyes for one. And if it happens to be a brother, then you're going to be gay. But there is one thing about it. We should greet everyone at least with a hug to let them know they are our brothers and sisters and that we do love them. But with the right kind of love. All the saints salute you. In the last verse, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. You know, in his concluding benediction, Paul provides one of the clearest expressions in the New Testament on the doctrine of the Trinity. the deity of the Son, of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit are affirmed by virtue of their relation to one another. And the distinctive personalities of each are implied by the independent activity denoted in the threefold operation of grace, love, and communion. We have now come to the end of 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we've got 24 verses. And there's quite a bit here now that Paul is picking back up for this church. So here in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul denies here that his apostleship is due to human agency. He is not commissioned an apostle by any group, not of men, nor by any mortal individual, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. And unlike the other apostles, Paul received his call from the resurrected, glorified, and exalted Jesus. This special reference to the Lord's resurrection implicitly confirms Paul's appointment as an apostle. Now, we need more men to be called into the ministry by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father instead of coming through these seminaries. Because those that come through seminaries, most of them come out preaching about a Jesus they don't even believe in. Now, verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches Galatia. Now, Paul is also addressing here all of his brethren. But you notice Paul has told them who he was, what he is, and how he got there. Now, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. There in 4, he's talking about right there in the beginning of it, who gave himself for our sins. We know he gave himself for our sins, and this confirms the divine desire expressed in verse 3 in view of Jesus sacrificing himself for believers. It is certainly his wish that they may receive grace and peace, that he might deliver us and more accurately render that he alone might deliver us. And the expression he alone means Jesus rather than anyone else. This strikes the apostles for the gospel is an emancipation from a state of spiritual bondage, and the clause also strikes at the Galatians' theological era of trying to rescue themselves by their own effort through the law. And we've got a lot of them today that are trying to rescue themselves, but it's not really through the law. They're trying to use parts of the law and parts of grace, which puts them between. And that will not work. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, when they tell you that you can't live without sinning, that's what was under the law. But under grace, when you become a born-again child of God, as we know because we read it time after time, those that are born again does not sin. And they don't sin because they are born of God. So, you know, there's just a lot of things that we really need as we study the Word of God to take into consideration. And look at what is happening today so that we know the right way to obtain our knowledge. Because if you get your knowledge from these weak churches that are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God, you are not receiving the truth of the gospel. So therefore, you're not being born again. Now, here in 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he ends that 5th verse with amen. Now we know that since he gave himself for our sins, is also a way that confirms the divine desire expressed in verse 3 in view of Jesus sacrificing himself for believers. It is certainly his wish that they may receive grace and peace. And then he talks that he might deliver us is more accurately rendered that he alone might deliver us. And this expression, he alone, means the Lord Jesus rather than anyone else. Because you see, Paul cannot, you and I cannot save anyone. But with us sharing the gospel goes forth with the anointing of Almighty God. It's carrying that godly power as we speak it. It can help them to come to a realization that they need something more and something stronger than themselves. And it will lead them to understand that they need the one that paid the price for them, that being the Lord Jesus Christ. With his death and his resurrection. No one else. We can work, yes. And the gifts working through you and I can bring healing, can bring knowledge, can bring wisdom, can bring miracles, can bring tongues, and all nine gifts of the Spirit. We cannot give the increase. That only comes by God. The increase of that one. Six. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, we've got a lot of them around us today that is doing just that. You know, he talks here about being removed because you see what's happening within the church at Galatia is they are so quickly deserting the Lord. And the Galatians are in the integral stages of defecting from God to another gospel. You know, the Greek word rendered another is heteron, which means another of a different kind. And the Judaizers that followed Paul everywhere almost he went, the gospel there, the Judaizers' gospel is not the same one Paul preached to the readers. And that's what he is letting them know. Because, you see, they are moving away from Paul and his gospel and following along with these Judaizers, which is what is happening a whole lot today in our churches. Now, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be a curse. You see, that's what will happen when you preach another gospel, these watered down versions and all. And it brings a lot upon you. That verse 8 there, which shows that the message, not the messenger, is of utmost importance. The Galatian controversy is not over teachers or personalities, but over truth and error. Even a heavenly angel, if he preaches error, is to be accursed. And that is eternally condemned. You see, you really want to understand a lot of these words. Because they have a meaning that you and I don't want. A lot of them do. And then a lot of them have meanings that we do want. But we don't want to be accursed because that means eternally condemned. Now, 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. You see, we're not to preach any other gospel, only this. Same one that Paul is preaching. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I'm going to stop here for the night. My throat is really giving me problems. And I want you to be, as we go through this, because things are going to get, and I want to make sure that you receive and get the point of this gospel that Paul is teaching the Galatian church. So we'll stop here. We'll pick up here, God willing, in the morning. Now, vinegar water wasn't strong enough to clear my throat. But we've had a good 35 minutes, so not too awful short. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for this time that we can come together to share your word, to share our love with each other, and to pray with and for each other. Because, Father, we all stand in need of things. And we know that where there's two or three of us gathered together, your word tells us that you're there in the midst. Now, Father, we pray for Israel. We pray for peace for them. But we pray more, Father, for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land. In this land of ours, Father, I pray for our government. I pray that the officials in our government that has brought all this evil upon this land, Father, by the things they've brought forth, be replaced from your office and be filled those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord, love your church and your people, and love this country, and will work with us to put this land back upon the foundation it was founded, that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for all of those that are with me in this study. Father, I pray that you be with them. Keep them in health. Keep them safe. Bring them through this night, Father. And bring us all together again in the morning at 10 a.m. and back into your word. And I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.